guys, welcome back to the pod. I'm your host Destiny. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Living Set Apart. I hope you guys had a great holiday and a safe Christmas and New Year's, and I can't believe we're over a week into 2021. Like, what even is going on? I was actually talking to my coworker today and I was telling her, I was like, wow, it actually feels like we are entering the new year, not like we're already here. Like, I feel like I still have a Christmas mindset, which is just crazy. Time is flying by. I feel like the days are long, but the weeks are short, which is an interesting concept to me. It also doesn't help that it gets dark at like 3 p.m. it feels like, and before you know it, I get to work and the sun's barely coming up, and by the time I leave, it's dark outside. So it just feels like the whole day has just flown by. Today is going to be super cool. I'm doing something a little different than a Bible study kind of podcast episode. We're going to be talking about work and work ethic and how that ties into biblical qualities and bringing the kingdom of heaven into your place of work, which I feel like is totally underrated. It's something that God put on my heart this week, and I'm so excited to share this good word with you guys. But what's funny enough is the inspiration for this podcast that I'm recording actually came to me while I was at work. And so I'm working and I'm jotting down all of these things that God has revealed to me. And I'm super excited because I didn't anticipate this topic that I'm going to be talking about. But it's just really awesome how when you pray for God to limit any distractions and that you can learn the sound of his voice and really tap into what the Holy Spirit is putting on your heart, how quickly you are able to recognize and discern between what is the voice in your head and really what the Holy Spirit is trying to communicate to you. So that is something that I had been praying about, and it's really awesome to see that come to life and for me to quiet down the noise around me and really just tune into the Holy Spirit and listen to what it has to tell me, because this word today is so good. So I just want to open us up in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for the people that are listening. Lord, I pray that this word impacts everyone under the sound of my voice. Lord, I pray that it will be Jesus Christ, it will be you, Father God, that is speaking through me, and these are not Destiny's words. Lord, I pray that you would just minister to my heart just as you are doing to your children. Thank you for my brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, and I pray that we can have a smooth sailing podcast. Thank you, Lord, for my platform, and again, I just want to do this to honor you in any way that I can, Jesus. Thank you so much, and in your heavenly name we pray, amen. I've got three verses that I'm going to be talking about and tying into this, so I'm super excited. Let's just jump right in. Today I'm going to be sharing with you guys 10 things I have learned from having an office job. Which, this isn't an advice kind of podcast. This is more conversational, more letting you guys know what the Lord has been working on my heart. But what's crazy about this is actually something that I'm walking through right now. This is something that I am being vulnerable with, and it's new territory for me working in this office and with these amazing women in there. It's a brand new experience. So there's a lot of things. There's honestly way more than 10 things that I have learned and continuing to learn in, but I think this is a good start. So actually, let me back up. I have worked in retail for all of my career and in the food business. So my first job was Subway. I got it when I was 16, a few months after I had turned 16. And the title position was called sandwich artist, which I took that to the extreme, you guys. I was really like, I am a sandwich artist. Like, if people asked me where I worked at the time, I wouldn't say, oh, I work at Subway. No. I would tell them, hey, yeah, what do you do for work? Me? I'm a sandwich artist. And I would even say artiste. I was such a goofball when I was 16. Well, honestly, clearly I still am, but I would say that. And then I went to HEB, which is a local grocery store here in Texas. And I worked there for, I think, 2 years, and then I left for a year, and then I was back for another year. But during that time, when I got a different job, I actually went to Target. Da, 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 da. Big ol' enemy Target, and it was very interesting working from one grocery store to another. I don't know if any of you guys have had a similar experience, just as if whenever I worked at Subway, I went, I think it was once or twice, over to another location and had to close over there. And it was so bizarre when you're totally thrown off your schedule, and it's just, I don't know, it was kind of crazy. But I really enjoyed those jobs. And when I was in Target, I was a cross-functional partner, which basically means I worked everywhere. So I worked on the front end and was a cashier. I also worked in soft lines, which is basically the clothing department. And then I also worked in the Starbucks that was in there too. So I got to be a barista for a little bit, and that was so much fun. If there's a job that I could go back and repeat and just, I wouldn't say make a career out of, but be there until I graduate from college, it would definitely be Starbucks. But actually, now with this job I have, that answer has changed, and I'm so excited and I'm so blessed to give you guys this good word that God has placed on my heart today. Back in August, I got the job opportunity to apply for an assistant accounting position, which is so different. I mean, I went from working at Subway to working at a grocery store and getting into management there, and then I worked as a barista, and now I am being offered to apply and get into accounting. It was super crazy to me. Right off the bat, I knew it was a God thing because He is so good, and I had been praying for a new door to be open, and God had been kind of hinting at it. Things were starting to shift in my life. I had a fast growing friendship with my friend Kara, which we actually have a podcast episode planned that I'm super excited about. We're going to be talking about toxic friendships and toxic relationships and kind of how that ties into what God defines as relationship and union and stuff like that. So be on the lookout for that episode coming here in the next few weeks. I'm super excited about that. But like I said, we met back in March when quarantine first started. We were both essential checkout mentors for HEB, which is basically, if you need an override at the register, or if something breaks down, or if a customer has a question, they would call one of us. And so we were always running around and answering calls and stuff. And we had a fast friendship. We got along so well. We worked together, and we're actually still best friends to this day. And I'm super excited about that, and for her to come on the pod and kind of give her perspective on things, for me to have my first sit down guest on here, and it's going to be super fun. Now, as I had grown and matured going from job to job and getting new experiences, I felt well prepared for interviews. I'm very comfortable with talking, I'm very comfortable with people asking me questions, and a lot of things, I'm an open book. But with a job that is this different from any field of work I've ever done, I was really anxious about it, and I was nervous, and I found myself wrestling with whether or not this was a God thing in prayer because it was so different, and it was literally overnight. It felt like my life had changed. And I know some of you guys can relate that in an instant, in one sentence, everything can change around you. A new scenery, a new relationship, or without a relationship. There's so many things that can happen within an instant, within a snap of a finger. And within that short period of time, I went from bagging groceries and taking phone calls to itemizing and reconciling accounts for this big company. And I felt so underprepared, just physically, as to the environment that I was going to be in. It's a very small office, and I was scared of walking into new territory. And as to add something on top of all of that, I'm also the youngest person there. So I felt very underqualified, and I was asking the Lord in prayer, I was like, God, why me? I feel inadequate. I feel scared and anxious, and you don't call us to have a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So this can't possibly be from you. But then the Lord told me, he said, daughter, my beloved, my sweet girl, do you trust me? And then he recited to me Isaiah 43:19 that says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. And I couldn't help but cry. I just wept, and I felt so loved, and I felt so appointed and ordained for such a time as this. And I literally felt like I was living set apart. And that is just so amazing that God chose me to join these ladies in this office and to lift the company up and to do the best I can as an assistant. I love helping people. I love the idea of, hey, I'm really overwhelmed. Can you go run and do this for me? Or, hey, can I sit down and talk to you about this new thing? I love learning. I love growing. I love helping. And so within those moments, God started to lift the veil from my eyes and show me all of the qualities about myself that made me perfect for this role and challenged me in the healthiest ways possible. So part of being an assistant is you are the messenger. You deal with the smaller scale things that your boss doesn't necessarily have time to deal with, or something that can be considered a not super high priority. And so I'm kind of the person that takes calls, takes messages, deals with the smaller scale things, and I will give her that information later at an appropriate time. And in the beginning, I guess I tried to be a little bit more confident in my memory than I actually was, and so I wouldn't be able to remember all of the information from that phone call, which is a pretty big deal considering I have to report this name and phone number and reason why they called back to my boss, and I don't want to miscommunicate anything. So I would definitely recommend always having pen and paper when taking those phone calls. My second piece of advice would be to have phone numbers or key phrases on sticky notes around the phone or on your desktop monitor that you would need to recite. So, for example, on our phone in my office, I have a sticky note with our phone number, and on that, I also have the extension. So whenever I'm making phone calls, tracking down invoices, or even talking to some of the customers that we have, I am able to give them a callback number, and I'm also able to give them any emails, so that way we can have a extra form of communication. And I can't remember every single phone number or every extension, so I would definitely recommend having those things around you, so that way you can just pick it up, read it, take your notes, and move on to the next thing. My third piece of advice is to always give a callback number. So you're going to look at that little sticky note you have with that phone number, and you're going to let that person know, hey, this is a good callback number just in case you have any further questions. Also, this is my email. And I don't have this written down, but this just came to me, is always CC the person that you need to get in contact with on your end. So for example, I'm an assistant, and so there's another assistant that I share an office with, and if she's on lunch and I'm taking a call, I would say a good piece of advice is to CC that other person on that email, or even CC your boss if you know this is something that it's a question that you can answer, but you want to keep her in the loop just to have a paper trail. I would say paper trails are so important. Documenting electronically with that seal of approval covers your butt and it covers the other person's butt. So that wasn't written down, but that was an extra little thing that just came to my mind. Another piece of advice is to never give your personal phone number. This is going along with something I'm going to talk about a little bit later, but you don't want to mix your personal business life with your personal life outside of work, especially if you're dealing with a lot of clients or if you're dealing with a larger scale company, even people in your office, it is very important that you are able to separate those things and create those boundaries, which I will get into how to create some boundaries a little bit later. But you want to make sure that you have an appropriate phone number and you have an appropriate email from your work. Those are tips number 5 and 6. Moving on, have good phone etiquette. So a lot of people have what they call their customer service voice. Have that customer service voice so you can be recognizable. Make sure you state your name. Say, "Good morning. Thank you for calling X, Y, and Z. My name is Destiny. How can I assist you today?" Or however your company wants you to answer those calls. A lot of times when I worked at Subway and even when I worked at Chick-fil-A and Target, I answered a lot of phones for the guests, and it's very important that you state the company that they are calling, because they could be wanting to call Subway, but they accidentally called Pizza Hut. So you want to make sure that you can, right off the bat, let them know where you are, let them know who you are, and make sure you ask them how you are able to help them. When you are training and you're learning new things, I would recommend, as tip number 7, to take notes when training and working on a new task. On my first day, the HR manager actually gave me this really cute notebook, and I have used it quite often. I'm already filling the pages of any notes for little things that I might be forgetting. I write down step by step how to do something, how to access a document, how to send an email, how to request days off. Keep any manuals, handbooks, take as many notes as you possibly can. Even if you never look at them, it shows a lot and it really helps you with muscle memory, and it shows your boss and your higher ups and the people in the office that you are dedicated and that you are trying to take that initiative to go the extra mile in writing it down, so that way you can teach that other person how to do something. You can teach someone in the future, but you're also training yourself in visual and tactile ways of performing that action. So I would definitely recommend doing that. Number 8 goes along with 6 and 7, and that is to pay attention to detail. It is so frustrating as a trainer when the person that you are training or you're mentoring isn't paying attention to details, and you are able to tell how much they listened in the instructions in that conversation you had based off of how diligent they are working and just the detail, urgency, all of those things. They kind of coincide together. So that goes along with taking notes and ask questions. A lot of times, even in interviews, ask whatever questions you want. It shows that you are interested. It shows that you are engaged. And it's so important to do that, especially in a place of work that you're going to be at least, up to 5 days a week, if not more. So it's very important that you are paying attention to detail. Tip number 9 is to find a mentor. So for me, my mentors are the HR manager and my direct manager, to who I am her assistant for. Find out what works well for them. What are their pet peeves when it comes to work etiquette? What deadlines would they like you to meet? You want to know all of these things because you want to fit their needs, especially when it comes to deadlines and the way a process is executed. You want to be able to have that freedom in making it your own, but also you are serving your boss in the best and most respectful, personal, professional way that is possible. Wow, that was a mouthful. It's a lot of words. And my last tip is, keep friends separate from work friends. I don't think I phrased that right. I'm basically insinuating to have boundaries between having friends in the office and having friends outside of work, because a lot of times, especially for where I work, it's a small office and everybody knows everyone, and a lot of people have been in the company for a while, or they have history together, or they used to be friends and they're not friends anymore, and it's a lot. And so it could easily become very, in places like that, thankfully we don't have that here, but it can become clicky, or people can feel like they're an outsider, or they could have that awkward history where you don't feel comfortable going to that person, even in a professional matter, because of things that have happened outside of work. So I think there's something very mature and just important, I would say, and a lot of wisdom and logic is found in creating those separate and healthy boundaries within the workplace. Tying this all to scripture, because this is a lot of information I just threw at you guys within like 2 minutes, 10 things that I have been learning, and 10 things that you guys are just soaking up all this information. So I hope you guys are following along. I'm sorry if I'm talking a little fast, I'm exhausted. But there's this amazing app, and it's called Got Questions. It's a free app, and you could type in really any question you have or any topic you want to learn more about, to meditate on, things like that. And so I typed in boundaries, and a lot of times when you hear boundaries, you think of relationship boundaries. Yes, it could coincide with a romantic relationship boundary, but I think there's a lot of wisdom in creating healthy boundaries when it comes to work relationships. So, in the excerpt of the question that I had asked on the app, it said, "Proper boundaries aid believers in keeping out worldly boundaries. Children of the light have no fellowship with darkness, and thus are separate from the world." And I want to read 2 Corinthians 6:14 to you guys. It says, "Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness?" Now, all that to say is work is a place for you to work. It is a place for you to make your money, take care of what you need to take care of, and going into a place of work in hopes of, and your main intention is to have friends, that is not the most appropriate place to do that. Especially as believers, we need to be extra cautious because we do live set apart from the secular world. If you're going to have a relationship with your coworkers, make sure it is outside of work and that you both can be mature and have those separate boundaries. So I just wanted to encourage you guys with all of that. I hope you liked this sort of big sister advice, friend advice, kind of little date we just had. I hope you guys have an awesome week, and be sure to head over to my YouTube channel to get more connected with me. And lastly, read the show notes to learn how you can be more involved in the podcast. Thank you guys for the constant support and prayer. Be blessed, and I will talk to you guys next Saturday.